Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, Allah's blessings, Allah's grace, that Allah has given us good health. He has given us strength. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And with the power and strength that Allah gives, and with the ability Allah gives, nobody can move even a footstep without Allah's permission. Whenever Allah gives a person the opportunity to do a good deed, and this is an opportunity then for that person to be thankful to Allah. It's beyond our understanding that a small good deed that in the hereafter, what is the value of that? Right now we cannot understand this. At that time, when we will transfer from this dunya to the hereafter, at that time then, the human being will realize that saying one subhanallah, what is the reward? One saying Allahu Akbar, what is the value? And what great rewards Allah Ta'ala has set aside for these actions? What great status Allah will give to a person for doing these good things? Right now, when we do this, in our hearts, completely, you know, just like a person's like overwhelmed, like say gets rusty something. Same way laziness and negligence has overtaken us. We do not understand or realize that what value has Allah Ta'ala put for these great actions. And even if it's a small so-called good deed, it's very light on the tongue, but in the hereafter, the weight, when it will be weighed in the hereafter, then it will be the heaviest of the deeds. There's a hadith at the end of Sahih al-Bukhari, kalmatani. There are two kalamat, two statements that are very weighty, light on the tongue, light in recitation, very light on the tongue. And you can recite them as much as you want, even the youngest child. If you teach a four-year-old child who doesn't know how to talk, they can recite these kalamat. What is the great power of Allah? That how Allah Ta'ala has prepared solutions for us in the hereafter. Great rewards Allah has given to us in the hereafter. And there will be such a big regret of that human being in the hereafter. And that time is going to come very soon, the hereafter. It's very soon it's going to come. It's like around the corner, but we think it's far away. And that's the meaning of laziness, neglect. Inna fi khalqi as-samawati wal-ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan-nahari la-ayatin li-ulil al-bab. Look here. Allah says that, you know, we said the sun, that was the eclipse yesterday. Look at the sign. Allah says, this is my sign. That same moon, the same sun, they are on their course, but in the world suddenly there's darkness. There's the sun, there's the moon eclipsed the sun. There's darkness. This is the sign of Allah's creation. Allah says, on the day of judgment I will call you. And we won't even know it will suddenly come. So what the human being needs to do is that he needs to empty his heart of the love of this dunya and have concern for the hereafter. That's the objective of these gatherings that we come to, and our pious predecessors have told us this, this same lesson, that they are fortunate people, Allah brings those people to these gatherings. And such gatherings they attend, in which we discuss the concern for the hereafter. Yes, so that we can understand these points, so that we can practice on these points. Because practice is the great thing. Not just listening, practice is the main thing. To know something is one step of knowledge. Ilm, knowledge, the value of the knowledge is when you practice that knowledge. Doesn't matter how much ilm you attain, uloom, it's like you've put the books on the back of the donkey. But one hadith, if you've got that in your life and you practice that hadith, then you can reach the heights. Yes, you can somehow or other you will pass. So negligence, we need to get rid of that. Laziness, we need to get rid of that. We need to get rid of laziness. Today there's time, and we can earn for the hereafter. Every point we get lazy, laid back, we say, I'll just leave it. It's too hard to practice. So we need to focus on the time that will come in the future, which is the difficult time. There's a hadith with regards to dhikrullah that we've heard from the pious elders. And this hadith is present in the kitabs of the hadith. Ulama know about this hadith. And how the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us things to advise us, explain to us. And in this hadith, the guidance that we've been given is that the human being, the individual, inside him, there's different organs. And in the heart, there are different quarters. In the heart. So he's telling us, Imamul Anbiya, the head of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how he sketched that even within us, what is inside us, the hadith that is teaching us. You can scan things and have x-rays, but you can't see these things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us. No science, research, analysis can teach us. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us this centuries ago, that human being, in his heart, there are two things in his heart, present. Two parts in the heart, two parts. Two quarters, you could say, two different abodes in the heart. Yeah, just like we live in this world, and we have the house, we have the children, we have money and wealth. And these thoughts are embedded in our heart. SubhanAllah, this is Islam, this is our iman, that we believe what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us. And if nobody believes on this, then he cannot have iman. And we've got, you say, no, you're going, we believe everything and you're going against us. We think like this. So what a great point we are being taught in this hadith. That inside your heart, there are two parts, two sectors, and unknowingly, unconsciously, but it's in our body, we don't know about this. So who stays there in the heart? SubhanAllah. Who stays there in the heart? So the Prophet explained who lives in that heart, who abides in that. One part of your heart, the malaik, the angels, they reside in that part of the heart, in that sector of the heart. And in the other sector of the heart, who is in that? Shaitan is sat there. Shaitan is sat there. So it depends now, the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, that which thing is overwhelming the other. So there's the angels that reside, and there's shaitan that resides. And if you can't reject this, because if we reject this, then we're not believers. Can I reject this if it's in the hadith? We cannot. Question doesn't arise. So the whole deen of Islam, you could just learn from this hadith, this sketch. Then further the Prophet ﷺ says, the shaitan is our enemy and the angels are your friends. It depends on you. Who do you embrace and receive and take as the friend, and who do you reject? If you come in my house, an enemy is coming or a friend's coming. It depends who do you receive into your home. You can give food, drink, milkshake, fizzy drink or ice cream or nice delicacies to a person, and you could say to the other person, oh, he's not home, come tomorrow. So it's up to you who you embrace and you bring and you invite and you tree. That's your choice. Do you want to have the angel as your friends, or do you want the shaitan as your friend? This is your choice. My choice. Shaitan is our big enemy. Avowed enemy. Allah has told us he's inside us. His children, everything. He has a whole family that comes inside the person. And they are wandering around. They're in the bloodstream. How? This is the truth. The Holy Prophet said, I'll tell you how. That can it be that the human being says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and he becomes a Muslim, and he testifies to the deen, and believes in Allah and his Rasul, and he believes in Allah, and then he goes to hell? To hellfire? Something to think about. He who recites the kalima, can it be difficult for a Muslim to pray salah? How can it be? If he's recited the kalima, the question doesn't arise that he can't pray salah. Is it? It's hard for that person who hasn't recited the kalima, who's a disbeliever, who doesn't believe in Allah. But for the mu'min who has iman, can it be hard to pray salah, to follow Allah's order? These are two opposite things. In other words, unbelievable to understand this point, that a believer who says, you've got iman, you say you're a Muslim, but you don't pray salah. How can this be? Your eyes don't open? And Jamaat is too hard for me to pray in congregation in the masjid. I'll try from tomorrow. Who is saying this? The one with iman in the heart. The woman with iman is saying this, I can't pray. Allah is saying, my Prophet has told you to keep the beard. Keep the beard, just like the Sahaba, 124,000. We say, I can't keep the beard. Oh, foolish person. This state of yours, when you die in this state, and they'll be telling you in the grave, recite the kalima, you'll say, I can't recite the kalima. I've seen this. Wallahi, people have seen this. People have seen this. They've witnessed this. What's the reason for this? The Prophet is telling us the reason for the failure. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? This whole game is in our control. The ball's in our court now. That today, if I've got iman, I say I'm a believer after reciting the kalima, and I've cancelled all the actions. Oh, shirk is dirty, this is dirty, I won't prostrate, I won't do this, etc. Then after not doing, I say, I can't pray salah, I can't keep the beard, I can't observe parda, says the sister, is too hard to accept the haram. We call, Allah said something is prohibited, is haram. That's the definition. And after Allah says it's prohibited, the idea as a Muslim to watch TV, singing, music, on the phone, look at dirty pictures of women, a Muslim believer, how can he do these things? There must be a reason behind us doing these things. Say subhanAllah. The Muslim, a believer, he can't go in opposition to what Allah is saying. A person that he's breaking all the rules, and the doctor comes, he says, what's happened to him? He says, he's breaking the mirror, he's laughing, sometimes he's breaking the curtains, tearing all the net curtains. They'll say, he's mentally sick. He needs to go. No. Mentally he's fine. He eats, he drinks. He says, eating and drinking, but look at his actions. He's disturbed, mentally imbalanced. He needs a cure. Needs some medication or some other remedy. Because a healthy person and who has a balance of mind will not do stupid actions to destroy his home. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you see someone doing physical, aggressive, violent, what will you say to that person? Will you say he's mad? He's mad, isn't it? Crazy, mad, mentally ill, etc. The person with senses won't do that. So the same concern we apply to deen. A person, a foolish person said, I believe in Allah, I believe in the Prophet, I believe in the Rasuls, I believe in the angels and Jannah, heaven, hell, I believe in all these things and I believe in Jannah. And then he's taking riba, sood, and he's lying. And he's smoking drugs. And he's running after the dunya that will finish. And he's immersed in the love of the dunya. There must be some reason then behind this. There must be some issue. It cannot be that a believer who has iman, who believes in Allah, and he runs away from the sin. Fafirru ila Allah. He runs towards Allah. Because iman is coming to that person. Fafirru ila Allah. Hastens towards Allah. Rushes. Do you think he'll run to alcohol? You've recited the kalima. Will you run to the masjid? There are two paths. That this is the great thing. You've recited the kalima and he hasn't recited the kalima. And both are running towards the pub. The Muslim and the non-Muslim. How can this be? Both are running towards adultery, women. Muslim and Muslim. And both are opposing the Prophet. What's the difference then between us? What's the difference? And then after dying, I'll say, I'll recite the kalama in the grave, I'll be forgiven, and people do khatam for me. Subhanallah. So we want the best of both worlds. We cannot imagine a Muslim that he says he has iman, he has belief, and he doesn't have the love of Allah inside him. He doesn't have the Prophet ﷺ's love inside him. Impossible. This is a big sickness and a disease. And if, how did this come about? Who did this? This is the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ is telling us now. This is the reason, the root cause. So I want to tell you something else, but something else came in between. I want to explain the hadith, but I remember the hadith that is in conjunction with what we're discussing. And mashallah, it's giving me benefit, great benefit I'm getting from the last 10 minutes of the discussion. I wanted to say something else, but I went on to another point. So think about this. No, my daughter's running from home, I've got problems, this is not happening, we've got issues, this has happened, my children are disobedient, they're not listening to me. And we say we are Muslim, subhanallah. No, we're very good then, aren't we? We've got good iman, haven't we? Even the disbelievers laugh at us. They are. These people, they have deen. We heard about stories about the Muslims, how good they are, virtuous. I heard the disbeliever saying this. He said, I heard stories about you in my young life in education. And forget about fard. He said that even the Muslims stand all night long for nawafil. Their feet are swollen in prayer. Disbeliever said this. And those people who used to stay awake all night praying, and they used to do tawaf, those same people who were naked doing tawaf, and there'd be dancing women around the Kaaba, and there'd be prostitution, and there was poetry and alcohol, and the same qawm, same people turned with what? La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, the Sahaba recited, they changed their lives. So me and you, what's happened to us then? If they could change their life 180 degrees, flip. Oh, today for us, Salah. Oh, Yari pray Salah. He's a big wali Allah. We think that he's achieved some massive achievement if a person's praying Salah. You think that's piety? This is me and yours duty. Mine and yours duty. And today we're saying Subhanallah. We should say, Allah, Subhanallah, you've given us the tawfiq that if you did not give us sajda, how would we be your obedient servants? How could we be thankful to you without sujood? We should be saying this. But rather we think we're pious when we pray. Look, we say, you know what? It's a jinn. There's jinn inside these people. Wallahi, I'm telling you the truth. The people who disobey. I'm not saying this. Hadith is telling us this. Hadith. A person, he has got two things in his heart. Which one does he select? Muluk, angel, or shaitan that's killing his akhirah? Shaitan, jinn, shaitan, same thing. They're the same thing, isn't it? Same creation. Jinnat come. They are shaitan, shayateen. Jinnat. Definitely in those believers, Muslims, there are jinn inside them. If the family of the jinn has come inside him to take over him, they've overwhelmed that person. Their children, I'm telling you the truth, that's what's happening inside the person. Jinnat are inside that person. The family, such family who sin, they run after girls, women, they do zina, they have jinns inside them who do these. They're so used to the jinns inside them, they become their friends, and there's no pain, no problem, because they're doing the same action. The jinn do the action, and that person doing the action. Sin. For example, a pub. Let's say you work in a pub. So when you work in a pub, you're a bartender, Muslim, many work. If you're selling alcohol in an off-license, you won't realize I'm selling alcohol, off-license, I'm selling whiskey, vodka. So you're included in action, you get used to that environment, the alcohol. Those who are buying, drinking, and jinnat, they do zina, do shaitani action, stealing, fraud, running after women, looking at girls, and fighting, quarreling. Those Muslims also doing that. Yes, is any pain? He says, no, I've got no pain in doing that. Yes, a person with iman, if his salah is qaza, ask him the pain he feels. That how does his day pass when he's delayed or missed salah? Do you understand the hadith now? This hadith. So this is how I look at and assess the hadith. That's how we need to look at the hadith. This is the explanation of the hadith. Yes, just the introduction of the hadith I'm giving you. Just the introduction. Understand what I'm saying? Yes. Look here. Jinnat are inside the women, the men, those who do zina, adultery, steal, the children are shaitan, they don't listen to the mom and dad. Fully 110% shayateen and jinn have overtaken them. Remember this point, that as the children's age increases, then the shayateen family increases inside them, and the children are youthful, they get married inside that person. Totally the truth I'm telling you. Yes, I'm not an amil, I'm the father of the amil. Yes, I don't know how to take the jinns out, but I know what the jinns do. That's how much I know. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not the magician, but I know more than the magician. Yes, whose jinns do I take out? Those who pray salah, those who do dhikrullah, pray salah, who recite the Quran, their jinnat I take out from inside them when they do good deeds. Why? Because they get satisfied that there's no jinn inside me reciting Quran. Foolish, the shaitan is tricking you. The real thing, how will you realize if there's jinn inside you and overtaking you and controlling you? A great hadith is coming, we'll learn from that. The story is developing, so we'll learn. That how do I know? How does a Muslim know? Not from praying salah, not reciting Quran. He'll make you read Quran. Shaitan will make you pray salah. Because he wants you to do bad after that. He'll make you pray salah and make you do zin after that. He'll make you read Quran, then he'll make you do sins after that. Understand what I'm saying? He'll make you go on Umrah, and then he'll make you do really bad actions after that. He'll make you pray salah, you leave home and look at the phone. Oh, what's this person doing? And you think you're praying salah, listening to Quran. What's this you're doing on the phone, on the screen in the night then? Understand what I'm saying? So jinn also will influence you and make you solid in doing the sin. They're calling him pious, he prays salah, but shaitan says, I'll make him do such sins that he will never be forgiven. Say subhanAllah. Understand the deen here? Yes. So don't be happy you've done dhikr, you've prayed salah, and when you do a sin, say, oh, jinn's inside me. Jinn's control me. How do I know that a jinn is influencing me from within? How do I know? How will I determine this? So this is the question. Every man, woman, believer who's a disobedient person, inside that person, inside their heart, they are being controlled by what? Jinnat, the shayateen. And when that person dies, then that jinn comes in front of us, and may Allah protect. At that time, the hal of that person who's died, don't even imagine it. Then he understands that, Yara, I was praying salah. Why didn't I pray salah properly? Why didn't my eyes open in the morning? Why didn't I respond to the alarm? Why did I lie? Why did I commit fraud? Why did I deceive? Why did I consume haram in my life? Oh, this was the point that inside me, the jinn used to influence me from within. This is the hadith that's telling us this. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is explaining to us that how do you rear the jinn? How do you preserve the jinn? How do you look after the jinn? Why don't you get rid of the jinn? Why does the jinn influence you? Why don't we get rid of them? This is the point. This is the question. So the sign here, that is there jinn inside me or not? Is the jinn controlling me or not? Is the jinn influencing me or not? Do you understand? The person who prays salah, does he have jinn inside him? Does he? You can't say that he prays salah, there's no jinn controlling him, because he's praying salah, there's no jinn influencing him. Both have them. What's the sign a person can ward off the jinn and shayateen? Understand the question. What's the sign that there's no jinn controlling a person? There's a jinn in this man, this woman. Don't look at beard, don't look at imama. Look at the jinn. I'll tell you the methodology how to determine if the person's got influenced by jinn. Then you can scan yourself. So then the hadith will explain this to us. Then I'll explain the meaning of the hadith. Okay, there's a hadith. Let's take the assistance of another hadith. Qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rawai Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, great companion Abu Huraira. This hadith that I'm going to share with you, this hadith is called, the title is this, the extreme, fantastic and strong hadith for the mu'mineen, for the believers. Very strong hadith for the believers. From here you will realize that what is the sign, is the jinn influencing me or controlling me or not. Okay? So until now we understand that he's praying salah, he can't have a jinn, or he's doing good deeds, he can't have a jinn. Now you'll understand that jinn can influence everyone, but there's another sign, does a person get controlled and influenced by jinn? Isn't it, Mulana sahab? Yes. Yes, you're sent from me, and you could see, you can assess yourself, go look at your face in the mirror, and you'll see the jinn in the mirror. So what's the sign if a person's influenced by negatives? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu stated that, I will explain to you the meaning of this hadith, how it's been described to us. In my style, I will share that with you. As Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased, was a great companion, and the actions that Abu Huraira did, no other companion did. No companion can compare, mashallah. That he stuck himself to his sheikh, his teacher, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And himself, the Prophet ﷺ had to say to him, that Abu Huraira, I know what is your habit, what is your hobby, what is your love and passion. The Holy Prophet ﷺ, Abu Huraira, I know what is your passion. Your passion is what? That you want to collect the hadith. Some 5,000 equivalent to the hadith he has narrated, Abu Huraira. The top number one narrator from all of the Sahaba, Abu Huraira. He narrated most hadith from the Sahaba. And fantastic, great hadith, different subjects. And look at this, this satisfaction you get from this hadith, that how Abu Huraira narrated. Be alert when you hear this hadith. Because mashallah, you have to include this hadith in your life from the learnings. Okay? Are you ready? Okay, mashallah. So we have to include this hadith in your life learning. In that style, I will share that with you. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sahabi, the companion, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, said that, mashallah, there's no other companion there. And he addresses the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet says, oh, Abu Huraira, ya Abu Huraira, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yes. My father and mother are sacrificed. Because he stuck to the Prophet. He said, may I be sacrificed? And he had no paper and pencil. His heart was open. The Prophet enabled Abu Huraira's heart to be open. So imagine the connection between the sheikh and the student. He didn't need the pencil and the paper. Just the heart will absorb the teachings and how he collated that learning. And subhanAllah, the people of Bolton will hear your hadith, Abu Huraira. They'll be lovers of the deen, sat in dhikrullah. Not normal people listen after centuries. So the Prophet ﷺ said, oh Abu Huraira, who is it? Now listen to this. Who is it that if I say a word, or if I say a statement, who is it that person who will attain what I've said? Who is that person? Who is that person that the words I say, said the Prophet, and he will take those words and attain that. And then he'll practice on them. Say subhanAllah. Listen to those. Abu Huraira. And then if on top of that, that the amal, the person who will practice on what I've said, tell that person. Do you understand this hadith now? What did the Prophet say? Who is out there? Put your hands up. Oh Prophet of Allah, we are here. Put your hands up. Oh my people, you'll be included in this hadith. Who is out there? Said the Prophet. We should put hands up. We are there. This is a great gift we are receiving today. Because this hadith applies to us as well. Not to Abu Huraira. The Holy Prophet is directly addressing the Ummah. Who is out there from the believers in this day and age that whatever I say, they will accept my words, embrace them. Embrace them. So we have to give the same reply that Abu Huraira gave. Remember this when I say this hadith. You will be included in this hadith then. What do we need to do? Give the same answer. So imagine subhanAllah, when you think and you imagine, it's a great state to be in. Remember this. Allah's connection is great. Because when you think the same, you collect your thoughts, then you can arrive to Medina, you can be in front of the Rawda Mubarak, you can be reciting Salam, you could go to the Kaaba, you do Tawaf, you could drink Zamzam. All of these thoughts, you combine them, it becomes your experience, your observation. Yes. And this is muraqabah. This is meditation. This is connecting to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the thoughts He's given to a person, it's the same thoughts. I want to become rich, money, and wealth, and luxury, and dunya. And you revolve around that all your life. Cut that, and start thinking about the good things. This is muraqabah, to think about the good things, the hereafter. So did I say to you about muraqabah? Empty your heart of all thoughts. Why? Because bring the thoughts. I'm stood in Medina, I've arrived to Medina, I'm sat in Masjid Nabawi. And totally your thinking and your imagination will become your physical experience. This is muraqabah, meditation. I'm stood there in front of the Rawda Mubarak, durood, whatever durood I know, I'll recite. Sit there in the corner of your house, take a tasbih, and take yourself to Medina. Imagine you're in Medina, and you stood in front of the Rawda Mubarak, go to the Gumbad al-Khizra, the green dome, sometimes Riyadul Jannah, sometimes to the holy fence. I swear by Allah, wherever your thoughts go, your thoughts will be so embedded strongly inside you that you will observe that. You'll observe that. And the shair, the poets, they will take you from one place to another. With the enjoyment you get in the nasheed and the naats in those verses, the depth of the meaning, it takes you on a journey and it takes you to the physical place itself. That's how great is the poetry. Jami, all these poets, what did they do? Rumi, they had that ulum, that knowledge, in depth. So this is a very great and strong tool, our thought process, our imagination, our vision of thinking. Allah says, embed it in your heart. That's muraqabah, the strong positive thinking. Yes, it's stated that when the person does muraqabah, that is the dhikr. Your heart's not moving, your ruh, nothing. All you're doing is thinking, contemplating. The amsad there, the mashaykh are there, and remembering Allah, the fares is coming from Allah via the mashaykh. And that fares suddenly, well, you'll feel good, you'll feel connected to Allah, and your heart and your whole body will testify to the deen. This is the objective. Yeah? So this is your destination, this is your target to get closer to Allah, if you want to get it. Why do we not get it? Because my thoughts, they're not embedded in my thoughts are towards dunya, business, fighting, disputes, quarrels. Our thoughts are going towards that. So if I flip that, redirect my thought towards muraqabah, my thing is 10, 15 muraqabah minutes, you won't do muraqabah. In our silsila, our sheikhs in our order, they if would say, sit down to muraqabah after Isha, then when would they stand up? They wouldn't stand up. The Fajr time, the muazzin would say, it's time for Fajr Azan, you've been sat here all night in muraqabah, thinking about Allah. And I saw Hazrat Gharami Qadr, my great sheikh, my teacher. Why? Because muraqabah, we're sat there thinking it's a burden. But they are observing, experiencing the connection. What's it? What's muraqabah? It's a thought process. They're immersed in that thinking that they say la to the dunya, and you arrive to the greatness of the connection with Allah. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm taking you to Medina due to my thoughts and my vision. Understand the point here? So now, this is not the case that Abu Huraira, you can't take him out of it. Who is Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is addressing Abu Huraira, but he's speaking to us. That is there anyone in Bolton, is there anyone in the UK who will embrace my words today, who will accept my words today? The Prophet says, and then secondly, he will practice my words. So what answer will we give to the Prophet? You arrive now, and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is next to you, and he's asking you, because Allah can make everything controlled. There's no veil, no time, no centuries. It's us who've made the veils, the barriers, the obstacles. Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't give me a fatwa on me, oh, he's saying weird things. I'm just telling you the reality of this hadith. There are Mawlana sahabs here, so I'm a bit afraid that they'll give fatwas, or what's he talking about? He's going too spiritual. So you understand, Mawlana sahab, what I'm saying? Yes. So just pull yourself together, listen. This hadith, what it's telling us. And you'll enjoy the hadith. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he sat there, obviously, he heard that. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't just addressing him. This hadith will carry on till Qiyamah, Day of Judgment, or not, tell me. Will it not? So the Prophet is addressing all of us. Who is he addressing? That today that Jamaat who really loves Allah and his Rasul has sat down listening to the hadith, he's addressing them. Yes, so this whole hadith is telling us, is there anyone there, said the Prophet, who will accept my words today and practice them? Today, the same way, just like Abu Huraira gave the answer, you with the same heart have to give the answer, then you can succeed, I can succeed. So Allah's Nabi says, is there anyone out there who will accept my words and attain the learning from my words, and who will practice on my words? Abu Huraira, what did he say? Me and you have to say the same thing. Yes, because Allah's Nabi is speaking to you, what answer will give? No, it's not me. I can't accept your words. It's too hard to me practice. I will run my corner shop. No, give the answer. This is your choice. This is your choice. But if you're present, and you accept, and it's the same Jamaat, and the hadith is coming same through the ages to us today, and the Prophet is addressing you, me, each and every one of us. Is there anyone there? Say, yeah, Bala, Ya Rasulullah. Yes, Abu Huraira, when he said that, and he jumped up. He said, oh Prophet of Allah, this slave of yours is present. He will do what you are saying. This is the lover. We are gulams. We say we are gulams, and we are slaves, and then we turn our back. Do you understand now? When you shout out, who is the gulam? The gulam, the follower, is the one who says, yes, Rasulullah Sallam. And here right now the Prophet will give you Jannah, the good news about Jannah paradise. If we accept. Today if you raise your hands just like Abu Huraira and you say, yes, I accept O Prophet of Allah, the good news will come immediately to you in this gathering. Don't look at your sins, look at Allah's fadl, grace, you are wearing his imamah, you are working hard morning and evening, you come to the dhikr gathering, you have crushed your desires. So today our broken down attempts and efforts is a great thing in the eyes of Allah and His Rasul. They appreciate this. We're living in such a hard day, in such an era. No one recites kalima in this era. No one remembers the kalima in this era we're living in today. You can go outside in your homes, children, family, they don't even know about deen. They know about football, World Cup, and little children who are their idols, football players around the world. Those people who play cricket matches, footballers and musicians, they don't know in this day and age, but Allah has created you. You've got beard, imama, morning, even do dhikrullah, and you listen to the words about Allah's Rasul, but you know value. Today Allah Ta'ala wants to give you Jannah in appreciation of you practicing the deen. So it's not just you. That Allah is not just addressing the Sahaba. No. For the sake of whoever is connected to this gathering in the whole world, sisters, brothers around the world, you are sat here physically in front of me. Those who are not physically here also, they are all included in this hadith. All. SubhanAllah. So those who believe in what I'm saying, put your hands up. If you believe in what I'm saying. MashaAllah. Understand what I'm saying up to now? Good. So what answer were we going to give? Jazakallah, what's the answer we give? That Abu Huraira, the same answer he gave in front of the Prophet, in front of us is Medina, and the Prophet is asking the same question. We should give the same answer. The same reward Abu Huraira got, the same reward we will also get, inshallah. Yes, there's nothing lacking in the deen. Nothing lacking in Allah Ta'ala's treasure chest. Yes, not just like Naad, Nasheed, please spread out Allah and give this to me. No, have the yaqeen in the hadith Allah will give to you. Don't drama, fake drama. Fake claims. Make the real claim that when you are sitting in the company of the awliyaullah, then these are the rewards that you will get. And you don't even think, and in the dream, you spend the whole life in a dream, but this is what we're learning to is the deen. So what does Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Abu Huraira, Ya Rasulullah, I'm here. I accept your words. And these words are for me. There's no other sahabi here. So I'm here. But what did he know? Then Bolton, UK, there's a jamaat sitting. They will hear this hadith as well. He didn't know. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then gave the reward on this hadith. And when he read this hadith and understand, what did he say? Then listen, the reward, those people who will accept my words, who said labbaik, and that we believe in the words of the Prophet with our body and our mind and our hearts, we will practice this. You're not scared, are you practicing? No, because Allah knows everything. Those who are scared, how will I practice? It's too hard. Don't be scared at all. Always accept, embrace, say we will do this inshallah. We will practice this inshallah. We're not scared. We're not the ones who practice. It's Allah who makes us practice. We don't practice. Who enables us? Allah enables us. Allah just wants to see our determination, foolish people. If you get scared and you run away, or do you embrace? Don't be scared at all. Allah is there. Allah's Nabism is there. He said that Allah will allow you to practice. If I say, Allah will allow me to cross the river. Let me just sit on the boat. Allah will let the boat sail. Allah, so don't be scared. We're not practicing. Who's going to enable us to practice? It's Allah. But Allah just wants to see our niyyah, our intention. So don't step back. Don't do a U-turn. Have determination. Have passion. Who will make us practice? Allah will make us practice. Allah will let us practice. Allah says, the cure I will give to you. Don't worry about it. Just make the intention. So we make a true promise to Allah. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then announced, the Prophet of Allah said, then listen then. That on this promise of yours, that you accept my words, you'll practice my words, you promise, Abu Huraira, was the word, and O Fakirs in Manchester, O Muslims of UK, Bolton, London, Peterborough, Liverpool, Fakirs 13, 14 place, mashallah, wherever the zikr is taking place now, I'm naming those places, the Jamaat is sat in zikr. Allah says that such ibadah I will give to you, such worship, that all the worship you do is the source of that, the soul of that. Is this worship. SubhanAllah. All of the worship you do, the ruh, the spirit of that, I'll give you the formula today in this city. Salah, fasting, hajj, zakat. All these ibadah are nothing on their own. Until unless you don't have the soul, just like your body. The body is empty if you don't have the soul inside it. So there are big actions we do. Salah, great salah, the greatest ibadah. There's no action that's equivalent. There's fasting, there's hajj, there's zakat, there's all other deeds we do. Worship, they're all there, fine. But those deeds cannot be accepted. Allah said, I made Jannah for this reason. I made palaces in Jannah for this reason. I made the status in Jannah for this reason. I made hoors and maidens and wives. That person cannot get those rewards from salah, hajj, or fasting, or zakat. No, a Muslim will achieve that today. I'll tell you in this hadith, that deed will give you the achievement. That deed will give you the achievement. So this is how in sequence we explain this hadith. So tell me, what is that deed? Until today we thought, if I pray salah, if I do this, I will achieve. No, you cannot get success just by those actions. You need the ruh, the soul. How big a car you buy will not drive until you don't have the fuel, the petrol inside the tank. isn't it? You can praise, oh, Rolls Royce, Bentley, drive it. Oh, there's no fuel inside. He'll say, then just keep looking at it all your life long. There's no fuel. It's a waste of time. And if I've got the best car, but if I've got an old run-down car with fuel in it, it will drive past that Bentley, Rolls Royce without the fuel. But the old car that I've got, 18, 20 years old, it will drive past the new car. Understand the point here? So you need the fuel. You need benzene. Same way, all the ibadah, the worship actions, the ruh, the soul, this deed Allah Ta'ala has made, Allah has made Jannah for this deed, Allah has decorated Jannah for this deed, Allah has made rivers in Jannah, hoors and the wives, such beautiful, that like the pearl embedded within the pearl, that beauty. Such great decoration in Jannah, paradise, all Allah Ta'ala has prepared for those people that today Allah says, I will tell you in the hadith, that action. Who are those people who will get those rewards? Who will become due to this action? There's a verse of the Quran in which Allah Ta'ala says regarding paradise. Allah says that about Jannah and the Muttaqeen, the connection. In the verse in the Quran, Allah talks about Jannah and the Muttaqeen, paradise and those who fear Allah. Jannah, Allah says, paradise. Who? Allah says, Wa'ad al-Muttaqeen. There's a promise, Jannah, paradise is for the Muttaqeen. It's a promise for the Muttaqeen, Jannah, paradise. And there are rivers in Jannah, beautiful scenes in Jannah. Jannah, the palaces, decorated houses for who? The Muttaqeen. They are the people who deserve Jannah. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us in this hadith the same thing. That all the ibadah worship you do, all the worship is, why is Jannah being constructed? For those people who are Muttaqi, they will enter into Jannah. But wa'ad al-Muttaqeen. Understand now the connection? Muttaqeen, not Salah. Muttaqi you have to be. If you pray Salah and you are Muttaqi, then you'll go to Jannah. If you're Hafiz and Muttaqi, you'll go to Jannah. Alim scholar Muttaqi, he will go to Jannah. Zakir Muttaqi, he'll go to Jannah. The condition behind all your deeds is you have to have Muttaqi. If you don't have that soul in your deeds, then you cannot be accepted. Muttaqi. Understand now the point up to here? Yes. Yes. So I'm praying Salah, I worship, I do Umrah. Allah says, no. Not Muttaqi. Who will go to Jannah? Muttaqi will go to Jannah. So now tell me that, now how do we answer that question about the jinn? That this was how we started the discussion about the jinn. How do we know about the sign? So right now you know, is there jinn inside you or not? Through this hadith. Understand what I'm saying? Salah is not the telltale sign. Praying salah is not a proof that jinn is not inside you. Praying salah is not the proof. Keeping the fast is not proof that jinn is not influencing you. Doing dhikr is not proof that the jinn is not influencing you. No, the proof is what? That you are muttaqi, yes or no, then you know if a jinn is influencing you, yes or no. If you are muttaqi or not, then 100% the jinn is inside you. 100% if you're not a muttaqi. Because salah will not help you. Say subhanallah. Understand this point today. If you don't understand, am I right or shall I explain to you again? I don't think you've understood, I think. Let me explain again. That the believer, he's a muttaqi, the person who's a muttaqi, then his salah will be accepted. If he's a muttaqi, his salah will be accepted, his fast will be accepted, his hajj will be accepted, all his worship. Because taqwa, la'allakum tattaqoon, Allah said about fasting, that I gave you fasting so you may attain taqwa. If you don't have taqwa, then keep your fast to yourself. Same connection, same reason. Salah was given to me so I can become a muttaqi. No, I don't want to be muttaqi. Allah says, then stand back. You won't get the rewards. So when, if there's no salah, no fasting, no hajj, no deeds, because your soul, your ruh inside you are jinn, the jinn are inside you, then who else will be inside you? Your deeds will not be accepted. Why? Because the jinn is making you pray salah, fasting, hajj, worshipping, but there's no ruh, there's no soul, because you're not muttaqi. They'll say, this is our client. Say subhanallah. They'll say, this is our client. Why? Because even after praying, what's the jinn are making you do? That same person who prays salah, who's lying, backbiting, doing fraud, haram, consuming haram, doing haram actions, he prays salah. Who are those people? The jinn's influencing that person. Understand the point here? That's why we sin. So if a person doesn't become a muttaqi, then what's that person? He is influenced by jinn. He is waste of time, that person. So Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us that Abu Hurairah, Now, shall I not tell you those words? Who is there that will accept my words and who will practice my words? Today, if we take this learning from the Prophet ﷺ, if we practice on this, then alhamdulillah, what do we become? We'll become. The Prophet ﷺ said himself from his own tongue. The hadith, I'll share that with you. So we're praying salah, we're worshipping, but the jinnat will run away from your life. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Abu Huraira, what is that action, that deed? And what will you become, the human being who adopts that deed? He stated that all of haram actions, save yourself from haram, unlawful actions. Listen to this. All the unlawful, prohibited actions, save yourself, you will be the greatest worshipper and muttaqi and the person with taqwa. If you leave all the prohibited actions, say subhanallah. The door to success is open. Who is there? This hadith tells us that we accept the words and we'll practice on this. Now we've understood this hadith. This is the hadith. That most of all, the Muslim needs to work hard on what? What should we be doing? Is that we should be running away. All the haram, unlawful, prohibited actions, we should save ourselves. Whoever has saved himself from haram, prohibited deeds, unlawful deeds, what does he become? He becomes a muttaqi. He is the biggest worshipper, the best worshipper, is the muttaqi. Muttaqi, fearful of Allah. And the person who doesn't save himself from haram, even if he prays salah, fast, does 10 hajj, year after year does hajj, gives sacrifice, what's that person? He's nothing at all. Jinnata in his life, in his body. And that person who doesn't save himself from haram, then who is making him do the haram? The first hadith, we come back to that. Subhanallah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that there are two parts in your heart, two segments. In one segment is the angel residing, in the other segment of your heart, shaitan resides in that segment. Now we connect all these hadith. So what does shaitan make us do? What does shaitan make us do? He doesn't allow us to become muttaqi. What does he make us do? Doesn't let us become a muttaqi, fearful of Allah. So what does he make us do, shaitan? He influences. He lives in our heart. Yes, he resides in our heart. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, what does he do? That waswasa fil qulub, shaitan inside the heart of the believer, he injects the waswasa, the evil thoughts, injection of whispers and evil thoughts into the heart of the believer. And when he injects into the heart, then the waswasas come, the negative thoughts, the negative inclination. And he'll do hajj, umrah, he'll do zina, adultery, sood, riba, unlawful money, earnings. And he will be lazy, neglectful of death, and he'll have love for the dunya, money, earnings, and he'll run towards haram. In other words, shaitan will take him completely towards those deeds that will make him do sin. That's the work of shaitan. So he'll make you a millionaire, he'll make you think about always, I want this building, this asset, Pakistan, one houses, England, one houses, I want aeroplanes, private jet. I've seen mad people like this. I'm telling you the truth, mad people. They'll get a private jet, and I'll a pilot, I'll make this building, this asset, this loan. All the time, 360, shaitan is influencing them. That thing that just like Jannah has no connection with paradise, no thought process with Jannah, that he has such solid thought process and is thinking, I want this house, I want this shop, this building, this factory, this enterprise, this profit, this calculation, this roadmap. Every thinking, body, dreaming, who's making him do this? As I said to you, become mind. There's a reason for mentally ill people. Shaitan has overtaken that person. This is the hadith. Understand what I'm saying up to now? So whenever the human being has these negative thoughts, he's doing sin, I want to do this, dunya, money, wealth, power, luxury, thinking about cash and counting and amassing and hoarding, that thing that Allah has rejected. The Prophet ﷺ, that when you recited kalma, you should have shunned that, and that's becoming your life, it's being amassed. The opposite. Understand what I'm saying? So make a decision. Inside a person, when he has thoughts of dunya overwhelming him, money, haram, unlawful actions, promotion in the dunya, in whichever way he's living his life, whoever has no sign of the deen, then He has no sign of the deen or Islam, and his thinking, his contemplating dream is always going towards unlawful. That's called shaitan's got the house inside his heart. It will make you do zina, adultery, stealing, do this action, that action. Whichever way he's making you think, you're promoting. If the angel overwhelmed you, he will never influence you towards wrong, because the fear of Allah will be inside you, and a unique passion. And the angel will make you do all those deeds that take you towards becoming the beloved of Allah. So now we need to determine and make an assessment. How much is shaitan and jinnat influencing me? Yes, so the biggest Amil has told you this. Amil, the person who has the ilm. Himself, the Nabi says, has told us, what's the reason for this? Why is shaitan overwhelming us? Why does he overtake our heart? Subhanallah, what a solution. He's given us the solution. فَلَا يَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ خَمْسَةً. He said that when the servant of Allah does the dhikr of Allah, remembers Allah, then shaitan runs away from that person, and his family is disturbed within that person, that he can't stand against dhikrullah. Allah has given us the gift of dhikrullah. It melts the shaitan, destroys shaitan. The dhikr of Allah is such a great deed, such a great gift, that if a human being gets the dhikr of Allah, after that, whoever starts doing dhikr in his life, makes him habitual in dhikrullah, makes dhikr overtake his life, Allah's Nabi, the Prophet of Allah says, what happens then is shaitan takes his store away. He disappears from within you. He runs away. He melts. And as soon as the Prophet said, wala dhikrullah, when he leaves dhikrullah, then shaitan comes back inside you to influence you. So now tell me, which people inside their hearts is the dhikr of Allah embedded? Yes, you can't say 1 or 2 hours, I'll do dhikr one day, leave it. No, dhikr should be embedded inside you, not a minute should you give the shaitan the opportunity to come and embed himself in your heart and give waswasa, negative thoughts, evil thoughts. He shouldn't enter your heart at all. This is dhikrullah. Alladhina yadhkuruna la qiyamahu wa qu'udan wa ala junubihim. Not for a second leave your heart empty from the dhikr of Allah. Otherwise, shaitan will come and overtake. He will make it a residence place of his own and his family. Say subhanAllah. Understand up to now? Yes. So this is the hadith, two hadith. I've combined them and I've shared that with you. So when shaitan comes to us, to our hearts, and he will negative thoughts and bad thoughts, and those thoughts will take haram, do haram, consume haram. Rasulullah ﷺ told us, as long as you consume haram, as long as you act and do her prohibited deeds, all your ibadat will be burnt and wasted. And you think you are praying, you're worshipping with taqwa, and you will not enter into paradise. Everything is wasted because haram. There's one condition, Rasulullah said, that only those people will go into Jannah, wa'ad al-muttaqeen, only the muttaqi will go into Jannah. Only those who fear Allah will go into Jannah. And we cannot reside in Jannah if we are not muttaqi. You understand the sequence? Yes. So success is for the muttaqeen, remember this? The muttaqeen. And who are the muttaqeen? Those people, Allah's Nabi ﷺ has told us the meaning. Those are the muttaqeen who 100% save themselves from haram, from the prohibited deeds, from the unlawful actions, in all ways of whom they purify themselves from haram. In the eating, drinking, standing, sitting, walking, relationships. There's not time. Otherwise I'll explain each point in detail how to save yourself from haram. Rasulullah has told us this in hadith. Completely no haram in your life. No haram should be in your life. Totally. One verse I remember quickly, I'll share that with you, because we've got 1 minute still. Inna ladina aminu amilu salihat. Allah says, oh you who believe, Ra'mana wadda, Allah says, the promise that Allah Ta'ala gives to those people, inna ladina aminu amilu salihat, those who believe in Allah and do amilu salihat, and do righteous deeds. What are righteous deeds? That change. So I'm giving tafsir of amalu salihat. Not prayer. Those actions, those deeds that Allah tells you to leave, you leave those deeds. And those actions Allah orders you to do, you do those deeds. That's the meaning of amalu salihat. So that person who has iman, who physically practices their life, those actions Allah prohibits, you leave them. And those Allah orders us to do, we do them. The meaning of that is, what's the reward? Allah gives us the reward of that. What's the conclusion then? If we leave the prohibited and do what Allah has told us to do, Allah Rahman, what Allah says, the Rahman, Allah is your Lord, He will give you His love. This is the tafsir here. This is tafsir. Rahman, Allah the merciful, the gracious, will give you his love. The Mufassirin say there are three things that come in him. Rahman will give his love, he will love you, and he will make you love as well at the same time. Three things Allah is promising him. Three things. What a great learning. Ar-Rahmanu Wadda. Love, he will give to you. In other words, you will start to love Allah. Allah, and Allah says, Allah will love you as well. Subhanallah. In other words, Allah will love you and you will also love Allah. It's a mutual thing. Allah will love you and you will start to love Allah. And Allah says, Allah will make you love as well. The whole dunya, Allah will say, all universe creatures love this individual. Love this individual. So he will make you his wali. And everything, all creatures will love you. When? When? When you do amal salihat, what I tell you to do, do. Whatever I tell you to refrain and leave prohibited, you leave that. Then you are the person who is the muttaqi. And the person who does this action, what Allah has prohibited, you leave, Allah has ordered you to do, you do, you become the muttaqi. You become the person who is the muttaqi, taqwa. And how do you do that? Protect your heart with the dhikr of Allah. And who makes us do haram? Shaitan makes us do haram. There's only one solution to stop shaitan, to be safe from the jinnah, dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. Wa akhru dawana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. So remember this bayan again, please. Remember, listen to this bayan again. Inshallah, you will understand all the points.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين شفيع المظلمين طه ويزين ونبي المؤمنين اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد النبي الأمي وأزواجه أمهات المؤمنين وذرياته وأهل بيته كما صليت على إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وسلم تسليما دائما أبدا كثيرا 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 اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وأمدنا كل زادتنا اللهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين اللهم ثبتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واشهدنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استقبلنا بسنتي ونفعنا بمحبتي واشرنا في زمرتي يا كريم اللهم اعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك يا قاضي الحاجات اقضى حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا اللهم اعفنا في بدني اللهم اعفنا في سمي اللهم اعفنا في بدني اللهم اعفنا في قلبي لا اله الا انت سبحانك اني كنت من الظالمين يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستعين اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك عندنا ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة عين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم دمر ما كمل وجاني سيرا اللهم دمر ما كمل وجاني سيرا وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه نور عرشه زينة فرشه وآله وصحابه وأزواجه وزورياته وأهل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.